If you've listened this far, like, we so appreciate you. Given this was a totally freestyle show, let us know. What do you think? Do you like it? We'd love to do another What's On Your Mind, where you give us the topics. We'd love to know what's on your mind. So you can interact with us, get a conversation going on Beats and Mind on Insta.
Who here can you trust?
Or how else might they reach us?
Insta.
Basically just Insta. Sorry if you hate that platform.
Insta or Insta.
Insta or Insta.
Really struggling.
Insta. Yeah. So that's us. Peace and blessings.
I got one more to play out, and then you got Nero for the next one, and then stay locked till seven. Don't touch that dial.
Good morning, 9 o'clock. Welcome to Breakfast with Sarah Campbell and John Kay.
Our headlines today.
And he's done it again!
England are through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, beating Mexico 3-2. They overcame hostile crowds, a red card, and the effects of altitude.
It's been hailed as one of the team's greatest ever performances. The exhausted players celebrating with fans until the roar of the Three Lions became more of a croak.
Back home, the game was watched in pubs and bars across the country, even though the start was delayed until 2 a.m.
Which means lots of children are waking up this morning not knowing the final results. So we're live at the School of Wiltshire, where they're watching the match and have no idea how it's about to end. I think they're feeling confident.
Also this morning, the former UK insists that no rules have been broken. This emerged that Nigel Farage did not declare benefits provided by a friend who was once convicted of fraud.
Good morning, everybody. It is Monday, the 6th of July. England are through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup after a nail-biting victory against England's co-host Mexico.
It was a game filled with formidable drama.
Quiñones, their standout performer once again. They're followed wave after wave of Mexican attacks. A Pickford worldie and a last-ditch tackle from Bellingham brought a breathless first half to an end.
What a half that's been.
Within moments of the restart, Nico O'Reilly hit the woodwork.
Off the post!
But the breakneck speed and intensity led to a key turning point. Gerald Kwanza with this tackle.
Ooh,
and after a VAR check, a straight red.
England are going to have to try and do this. A man like...
No time to think or catch breath. Anthony Gordon's lung-busting run earned England a penalty. Up stepped the captain.
And he's done it again!
England fans in disbelief. One of the most chaotic matches the Azteca has ever seen took another turn. This tackle, another bar check, another penalty. Mexico erupted. Time for Thomas Tuchel to bolster his defence. Five at the back. But would there be another twist in this exhilarating match? Mexico threw everything they had at it. So did England. An exhausting 11 minutes of time was added on. England's players looked spent. A final John Stones tackle epitomising their absolute refusal to go out. England's 10 men victorious against the odds in one of the most heroic performances these players have ever put in.
Yeah, it was a crazy game. We had to fight. We had to find something. I've just been sitting there. I can't really talk. But all the occasion, the team, everything against us, we found a way.
The jubilation, England's. The travelling support's journey goes on.
That was incredible. I mean, how can you get a better game than that? Mexico in Mexico City. Look, all the Mexican fans, they're amazing. And that game, I had everything.
But never a dull moment watching England, is it? You know, sendings off, penalties. The game had the lot, really. Thankfully, we got the result.
For Mexico, pure heartbreak. They have much they can be proud of in this World Cup, but it is England who progress with joyful memories of a game the Azteca will never forget.
And our correspondent Will Grant was there.
He certainly was, yeah. Back home, millions of us, we woke up very early, hence I'm actually losing the power of speech now. But they managed to watch the drama unfold and it was dramatic.
Yeah, look at this. This was Box Park, Wembley in London. Elation as fans found out that England were through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, so that was Wembley. Our correspondent Rowan Bridge watched the whole thing from kickoff to final whistle with supporters in Manchester.
It might be past midnight.
Viva Mexico!
It might be a school night.
England!
But you'd never know.
Come on, England! Let's go! Let's go! Come on!
Across the country, the Sunday evening crowds were made up of true believers.
And who's going to score?
Harry Kane, obviously.
They're going to do it. They might leave it late, but they'll do it. They'll do it.
You sure?
99.9%.
It wasn't just England fans, though, brimming with confidence.
Listen, guys, I'm sorry to tell you, but it's not coming home. I'm sorry about that.
You can't say that.
And with the start delayed by an hour, time to find an alternative game to play. 36 minutes in, and the match and the crowds came to life.
How are you feeling?
Brilliant! Brilliant! Come on! Bring it on! Bring it on!
Less than 2 minutes later, another England goal.
We've absolutely smashed it so far. Unreal.
But events quickly turned against them.
How are you feeling? You pulled one back.
Hey, we'll make a comeback. We'll make a comeback. It's still early in the game.
If the first half was eventful, the second raised the stakes further. A red card and two penalties. The tension was almost unbearable.
You got your head in your hands there.
Oh, it's not good. It's not good.
Harry Kane again provided the goal England needed. And 10-man England held on for dear life through 11 minutes of extra time.
How are you feeling?
We said it at the start of the game, we believed, and look what's happened.
That 11 minutes was the hardest 11 minutes of our lives. It's coming up! It's coming! Football's coming up! It's coming!
As the sun came up, a dawn chorus. England's dream lives on. Rowan Bridge, BBC News, Manchester.
Prince Harry has accepted an invitation to stay at Buckingham Palace for part of his visit to London this week. A spokesperson for the Duke of Sussex has confirmed the news this morning. His visit will take place as part of a trip to the UK, where he will attend the Invictus Games in Birmingham and charity events.
Sky has announced a takeover of ITV has been agreed for around £1.6 billion. The agreement, which is subject to shareholder and regulatory approval, would create the UK's largest commercial broadcaster. The deal aims to create what it calls a UK-focused streaming giant. The deal includes the ITVX platform, along with ITV's free-to-air channels, but not ITV's studio operations. Nigel Farage has insisted there's been no wrongdoing and he has followed the rules after it emerged that he didn't declare benefits provided by a friend who'd once been convicted of fraud in the US. The Reform UK leader was given support, including security and social media staff, by George Cotterill in the year before Mr Farage was elected as an MP. We're joined now by our chief political correspondent, Henry Zeffman. Morning again, Henry. More questions then for Mr Farage.
Yes, absolutely. Questions which could be posed by the Parliamentary Commissioner for Standards. That's the watchdog over MPs' conduct. He is already investigating Nigel Farage over allegations that he should have declared the £5 million gift that he received from Christopher Harborne, the crypto billionaire and Reform Party donor, in the year before he became an MP. And now, from the Sunday Times journalism, there are also questions about whether Nigel Farage should have declared some of the security and social media staff which George Cotterill supplied to him also in that year before he was elected. Nigel Farage's defence here is essentially the same as it is in the Christopher Harborne case. He says these were related to his personal activities. He had not yet decided to seek election to the House of Commons again, and therefore he did not need to declare them under the rules for new MPs. So let's see whether the Parliamentary Commissioner for Standards complies with the request from the Liberal Democrats to widen his investigation to incorporate this case. Meanwhile, we have a statement from Nigel Farage. He says, "I have done no wrongdoing, followed the rules, and I am now considering legal action against the Sunday Times. It's now clear the establishment will stop at nothing to hurt Reform. We want to smash their cosy consensus." And we've also heard via his lawyers from George Cotterill, who says that he too is considering taking legal action.
OK, Henry in Westminster, thank you. From today, a new weight loss pill will be available to buy privately from high street and online pharmacies in the UK. The pills are not currently available on the NHS. Pharmacies are said to be braced for a huge surge in demand for the once-a-day tablet form of Wegovy, which is priced similarly to the injection.
It's actually a lot of people who are new to these medications rather than looking to switch from injections to tablets. So that's telling us something about the injections weren't appropriate for those patients for whatever reason. So I think we're about to see a huge surge across people who are clinically eligible.
The time is 12 minutes past nine. We'll be going back to that Wiltshire school in a minute to find out their reaction when they get the final score.
Indeed, but time now, though, to get the news, travel and weather where you are.
A very good morning. Welcome to BBC London. I'm Thomas McGill. Well, as you've been hearing, England are through to the last eight of the World Cup after beating Mexico 3-2. Thousands of fans here in London spent most of their night in bars that were given permission to stay open until 5 a.m. This is the final whistle at Box Park in Wembley, where supporters gathered to watch the match on big screens. Many now confident England can go all the way following this latest performance.
That game that I've seen, I wish witness, is going to be in the history. Everyone that witnessed this, everyone that's experienced this with each other, football's coming home, mate. That's all I can say, football's coming home.
That's the hardest I've ever seen England fight. My voice is going, my heart was in my knees. But we did it. We did it.
In other news, there is a warning. The impacts of climate change will cost London up to £15 billion a year by 2050 unless drastic action is taken. A report by Central London Forward says more severe heat waves, floods and droughts will affect our health and our finances in the coming decades. They're calling for more green spaces to help absorb the heat. Single bus and tram fares are to be frozen at £1.75 for another 4 months. The current freeze was due to end this month. The weekend hopper will allow passengers to pay one fare for unlimited journeys on Saturdays and Sundays. Single bus and tram fares are expected to rise then in November by 10 pence. And Harry Styles wrapped up his gigs at Wembley and has bagged himself a world record. The singer has been officially recognised by Guinness World Records after completing the longest single artist run in the stadium's history. He performed 12 shows as part of his Together Together tour, beating Coldplay's 10-night run in 2025 and Taylor Swift's 8 nights in 2024. Let's have a last look at the travel, and there's currently minor delays on the Central, Metropolitan and Piccadilly lines. And that takes us to the weather with Kat.
Hello there, good morning to you. It's going to feel hot through this week, where maximum temperatures on most days will lift to around 30 degrees. So heading into our next heat wave, this morning it's fine, dry and bright. There'll be plenty of sunshine around. This afternoon, a bit more patchy cloud around, but still long sunny spells, a moderate westerly breeze and top temperatures lifting to around 32 degrees. So it continues dry through the evening with late spells of sunshine to end the day. Overnight, patches of cloud, long clear spells. And with those winds falling lighter in these conditions, there's always the risk of some mist and fog patches, temperatures falling away to around 15 to 17 degrees. So we go again with the same story on Tuesday. Patches of cloud, long spells of sunshine. It is going to feel hot with temperatures around 30 degrees, and we continue in the 30s through the rest of the week.
And that's it from me for this morning. There's more on the BBC News app and on BBC Radio London. I'll be back with your lunchtime news just after 1:30. Until then, have a lovely morning. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Breakfast, where we're all trying to recover and stay on the same page after a busy and exhausting and emotional night.
Very emotional night. Now, most fans will know the result already, but as we've been seeing this morning, there is a group of pupils in Wiltshire who are still watching it for the very first time.
And we've been dipping in and out at Malmesbury School this morning. Our reporter Fiona Lambden is with them. She doesn't know the final score yet either, but they're about to find out. They're in the last few minutes of added time.
John, we are so nervous. I've got a couple of minutes left and it's looking ever so good. 2-3. The kids here have been amazing. I can't tell you how hot it is. I am boiling. Steve, oh my gosh, we do not have long. Just describe the atmosphere.
It's electric. I can't believe it. My voice is almost gone. This is desperate stuff, isn't it? We're clinging on.
I feel like we're clinging on.
Yeah, we are clinging on for dear life. Every second that passes is precious, isn't it? Just waste time, just get it in the corner. Just do anything, kick it out. Brilliant. We just got to survive. One more minute to go. My heart.
It's been like a carnival here, hasn't it?
Yes, it's fantastic. It's brilliant, brilliant fun. To watch this with 200 children is...
Are you pleased you did
awesome.
It?
I'm so pleased I did it. It's so memorable. These children won't ever forget doing this. And they won't forget, hopefully, the result for the right reasons. 30 seconds left.
Come on, England.
Oh, no. Oh, why do they do this to us every time? Every World Cup, England do this to us, don't they? Come on.
It's so tense, but I'm feeling so confident.
15 seconds, I'll tell you what, 15 seconds to go, it's looking really good.
It's all over.
But it's not. It isn't yet.
It's not yet.
It's no.
No.
They know what's going on. They know what it means. A corner. Oh, my goodness. This is nerve shredding. Yes. No. Oh. Come on. That's got to be it.
Please, can we nearly be there?
That's got to be it.
This is so stressful.
Come on, we're a minute over. Mr. Referee, please have mercy.
What's going on? mean, just in case anyone's wondering, we genuinely do not know the final score.
Another corner. Here it comes. Oh! Jordan Pickford, what a punch. Look at... Yes!
Celebration. I think there was as much joy there as there was in the Azteca Stadium in Mexico City.
Absolutely brilliant. We had our own little equivalent moment of this. I don't think it was quite as spectacular as
that.
This
far off, Sarah.
This was our moment at the final whistle.
That was Sarah and me in the pub at 6 hours ago.
It feels like a lifetime ago,
it really
doesn't it,
does.
Already?
Those kids now think that this is entirely normal for England. Little do they know.
Oh, yeah.
It's not always that easy, not always that straightforward. Look, Hugh is going to tell us in a moment what we need to know ahead of the weekend, because we're already thinking about the quarterfinals on Saturday. Where, when, how, who... Hugh will join us in a minute.
Yeah, before that, though, let's go to Matt and have a little bit of calm with the weather, Matt, please.
Yeah, right.
I will try to do my best, but I think I'll be whipping up another heatwave frenzy across the UK. I hate to say it. If you're not a fan of heat, it is back. The next heatwave, third one of the season so far, since late May, in fact. And just picked out a few of the hot spots from each of the four nations. Could see temperatures up to around 25 degrees in eastern Scotland. Similar sort of temperatures in parts of Northern Ireland too. But it's England and Wales where the heat wave is not only going to build, it's going to be long-lasting as well. Some spots having a good run of temperatures above those heat wave thresholds, maybe around 10, 11 days worth. It is going to be another very hot and sunny spell across southern areas in particular. Not so much this morning, though, if you're waking up in the north and the west. Lots of cloud around, some outbreaks of rain in the far north of Scotland. A few splashes further south, but not too much. Most places dry. Mist and low cloud and sea fog down towards the coast of Wales, Devon and Cornwall, never too far away. A little bit more sunshine this afternoon compared with the morning. Highest of the temperatures, southeast East Anglia, more widely above 30 degrees in these areas this afternoon. Mid-teens in the north and west of Scotland. Through this evening and overnight, still some outbreaks of rain across northern and western parts of Scotland. Most places, though, will be dry. Mist, sea fog becomes more of an issue down towards the far southwest. And another warm night, temperatures around 13 to 17 degrees. And then as we go into Tuesday, still some rain in the north of Scotland. It's the second half of the week we'll see temperatures lift here. Most places, though, will be dry. Northern half, sunny spells, but still with a fair bit of cloud at times. Southern half of the UK, longer spells of sunshine. If anything, temperatures dip a little bit tomorrow relative to today, still above 30 degrees for some. But as we go into the rest of the week, we're going to see those temperatures build even further and build away further northwards. Could see highs of around 34 degrees during the second half of the week. John, Sarah, back to you.
Thank you very much indeed, Matt.
Yeah, hotting up. It's been hotting up for the last however many hours. Hugh, I mean, the highs, the lows, it's just never easy watching England, is it?
No, it isn't. I think fans of every country, of every team will tell you that they never make it easy on their fans because they feel it more keenly, more intensely than anybody else. I think it is elevated somewhat by the fact that most people were bleary-eyed, yeah, either watching it or certainly afterwards. The adrenaline that courses through you at a time of the morning where adrenaline should be the furthest from your thoughts. And now perhaps for those kids in Malmesbury, for us, for all those people who either stayed up late or got up early, an understandable crash comes. But now we have to think about how all of those emotions will get stoked up once more before Saturday. Matt told us a little while ago, it's going to be hot in Miami. It will be tricky, humid, potential for a thunderstorm or two. We were delayed for an hour last night, so that could well play a part again. So heat is not something that England have had factored into their game so far. They've either played in air-conditioned stadiums with roofs, or they've had rain, would you believe? They had rain in Mexico City, they had rain in Boston as well. So all of this is now building towards a whole new set of obstacles. No altitude anymore. No partisan home fans.
No excuses.
No excuses. But plenty of excuses. And here's just a few to fill that vacuum that last night's crash has now created. You've got Erling Haaland, who has scored 62 goals in 54 games for Norway. He's level with Lionel Messi and Kylian Mbappe, having scored 7 goals in this World Cup so far, in the race for the Golden Boot. And he's done it in one less game. In just 4 games. He has scored in 14 Norway games in a row. The last time he didn't score a goal playing for Norway was nearly 2 years ago. Manchester City fans will know in supporting him how dangerous he can be. The rest of the Premier League knows full well what he's capable of doing. And Norway are riding this extraordinary wave of enthusiasm.
Rowing.
They are rowing in the waters of enthusiasm. It is their first finals, just like Scotland, their last finals was 1998. So this is the first time that they've played in the tournament since then. It's their first ever quarterfinal. They'd never even won a knockout game at any World Cup tournament before. So everything that stood in England's way last night, can we spend the next 5 days talking about how there'll be different obstacles in their way come Saturday?
Probably we will spend the next 5 days talking about all this.
So at least I've put them up front. Weather and a very tall Viking. How about that?
That tall Viking, is it a good thing that many members of the England team will know him well and will know what to prepare for, or does that scare them off?
Including John Stones and Mark Gay, two centre-backs who could well play for England, who play and have played on the same side as Erling Haaland, so they'll know him from training. But here's the thing. England, once again, as has been the discussion throughout, have right-back problems because they've got Reece James injured, wasn't available for last night. Jarrell Kwanzaa stood in, having been injured prior. He got sent off, so he will be out of the game. So there are questions still to answer, even as this wave of euphoria Ingolsus.
But at least it's on at a slightly more reasonable time.
Unless there's a delay, of course, in which case people can have their own sleeping patterns.
It's meant to be 10 o'clock Saturday night.
10 p.m. Saturday night, 5 p.m. local in Miami. It will be a whole different ball game from what we experienced.
See what you did there. See what you did there. Hugh, thank you very much indeed for this morning. I think we all need to lie down.
I think we need to lie down, don't we? We've been up for a very, very long time.
No more coffee. Stop me having any more coffee.
No more coffee. That is all from us for this morning. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
But right now, here on BBC One, let's hand over to our friends at Morning Live. Hi, guys.
Go and have your well-deserved nap. Well
played,
Snuggle
down, you two.
Indeed. Coming up on Morning Live, the rise of the car cannibals. Protect yourself from thieves stripping vehicles to their bare bones.
Plus, thousands of pets will go missing this month. Find out the latest con using AI to give families false hope.
And it's your chance to ask our doctor. From infections to tingling toes, we'll answer your burning health questions.
Welcome to Morning Live with Gethin Jones and me, Helen Skelton. We are with you live from Manchester until 10:45 on BBC One and iPlayer.
With us this morning, with slightly blurry eyes, I'd say, Montel Douglas, Fire from Gladiators, not too bad. Cook Bryony Mae Williams. No, she's had a sleep. BBC Radio 4 money box journalist Dan Whitworth. He did stick for the game. What? Scam interceptors Nick Stapleton definitely has. He was... weren't you supposed to watch it together?
Yeah, we arranged to watch the game and I set my alarm and I got dressed. But with the delay and everything, I fell asleep. I woke up, I was so confused. I was like, what's happening? Where am I? And then I just missed it.
So you woke up and you forgot why you got up?
Yeah.
Right, OK.
You're having a really good sleep and you're like, why am I awake? But I, do you know what? I relived it this morning and thank heavens. It had everything. Penalties, sending off, 5 goals. Mm. What's not to love?
Bellingham got a couple of goals as well in, what, in about 90 seconds. This is one of them here.
But the trouble with that is they scored so early on that the rest of the game was so tense because so much went on. You know, and you like you need those goals near the end. Mm-hmm. Nick can't
You only know that because Nick told you that this morning. Nick, the thing is, so England now play Norway next because Norway beat Brazil thanks to one of your... heroes, you're going to be really conflicted for the next game, for the quarterfinal.
This is both my dream and my nightmare because my wife is Norwegian and I'm going to be in Oslo next Saturday when the game is on. So I'm going to be a very unwelcome visitor for the England-Norway game. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm going to be supporting England, but it's going to be a strange one for sure.
Erik Haaland there scoring the goal for Norway, who's also Erling Haaland, who also plays for Man City. So yes, the team you support as well, yeah.
But I think this is what the World Cup's about. Everyone's talking about football. Everyone's coming together in a common goal. People are smiling. You remember there are three lions on your shirt. I like your wife, but you're Team England.
I promise.
A lot of people will have probably tried to stay up for the game this morning. Dr. Range is joining us from home. Did you stay up for the football, Range?
I didn't. No. I've just caught up on it all this morning.
But like a few people will be getting up maybe this morning feeling a bit tired. How do they get through the day, Range? Is it just grab a coffee and hope for the best?
You know what? One of the best things that you can do is get outside into daylight as soon as possible because it suppresses the sleep hormone melatonin. Get moving for about 5 to 10 minutes briskly if you can. So a bit of Strictly Fitness with Montel will be a good idea. Rehydrate, have a high protein breakfast to give you some energy that's long lasting. And I know the temptation is reach for a coffee, but if you can delay it sort of 30 to 90 minutes after you wake up, it helps to avoid the caffeine crash that you're inevitably going to have a bit later on.
Also, good luck on getting through the day. Range back with us very shortly. Let's see what's coming up on Morning Live today. In a few minutes, Nick has advice on the latest con targeting pet owners. And at 10 to 10, Dan is explaining why you could be entitled to compensation. It's after one major ticket retailer was fined for adding hidden fees at the checkout.
After that, Bryony has just the ticket to level up your grilling game. With more warm weather on the way at 10:15, she's going to be making her must-try marinades that will take any barbecue food from bland to bursting with flavour. I think that's Saturday night's football.
barbecue sorted.
She's got it all covered. At 20 past 10, wildlife presenter Kate Humble is giving us a taste of what's to come in the new series of Animal Park, celebrating 25 years on screen. So we'll look back at some of her most memorable moments, including the tigers that brought her to tears.
Kate Humble looks no different 25 years ago. Ben Fogle looks like a child. And Monta has a roaring Strictly Fitness for us at the end of the show. You're getting in the mood for the summer holidays, Montel.
Yes, so we are doing some moves, some summery dances that you can put to good use on your holidays. And today, it's the lobster claws from Dan and Nadia.
Oh, my goodness, it's back.
Dave! Oh, we love it.
Do you know what? I think I've missed it.
I've missed it. And Dr. Van said we need to get moving, we need to be outside, so...
You're good mates with Dan. Has he ever showed you the... Is that how you do it?
He does that to me, but I don't think it's in relation to his dance. Because it's swiftly followed by this.
We will be doing a dance move later on from Dan. Summer is one of the busiest times of the year on UK roads, with more people relying on their vehicles for things like day trips or holidays.
But imagine waking up to find your car has been completely stripped of parts with little more than a skeleton remaining.
It's a situation that's becoming more common. Former detective Rebecca Mason has been to hear more about a growing group of criminals known as the car cannibals.
In car parks and on the streets, thieves have been stripping cars of their bonnets, lights and bumpers. The thieves are known as car cannibals, selling the stolen parts for profit and leaving the victims counting the cost.
The damage can amount to thousands. It was something that I dealt with when I was a police officer, but in recent years, reports suggest it is becoming more common.
This is what remained of one vehicle after the car cannibals struck on a street in Birmingham. Now, thankfully repaired, the car's owner, Jeremy Merkel, remembers the night it happened all too well.
So I woke up to a WhatsApp from a neighbour, just said, Jez, I'm really sorry to say, but it looks like your car's been done. So I obviously pulled on some clothes and ran out, and he was right, because I came out to it and the whole of the front of the car had gone. And it was absolutely devastating.
And the thieves were caught on camera, walking off with the stolen parts.
And one of the neighbours had picked up some footage at about 4 a.m. of a guy walking past with the bumper. Bumper's like a massive part above his head, just casually walking down the pavement. So it's just devastating, because then you start to think, OK, am I actually being targeted here, or is my car being targeted here?
That feeling of being targeted is because this incident was the second time Jeremy's car had been attacked.
About 18 months before I came out, the bumper had been taken. But at the time, I was a little bit philosophical about it. It was just kind of like, that's bad luck. So for it to happen again, but to happen in a more severe way, was really upsetting.
And incredibly, 5 months after the second attack, the car cannibals came back again.
I woke up and looked down, and there were two fellas in the process of stripping it again.
No.
They ran off. By the time I got down and outside, they disappeared. But they'd taken all the fixings off, so they were probably only a few minutes away from being able to finish the job. I've got no way of securing it. And the next morning, I arranged for it to go to a compound where it stayed for the best part of 3 weeks. So I just didn't want it near the house. How crazy is that? I can't even have my own car outside the house.
In the case of all three attacks, the thieves were never caught. And Jeremy says the incidents have cost him thousands.
I mean, how has this whole thing made you feel?
The insurance has now gone through the roof. And a bigger problem I found is I really struggled to get insurance this time. There were a lot of firms that just wouldn't insure me. So it's left me in a really difficult place.
After that third attack, Jeremy decided it was no longer safe to park his car outside his own home.
Since then, I now rent a garage and the car is not outside the house at all anymore for more than 5 minutes.
So this whole thing has caused you to change your habit?
It now lives in a garage, which is a short walk away. So it's kind of crazy, isn't it? It's not like it's a really expensive, prestigious thing. It's just an eight-year-old Golf.
Across town is Birmingham City's St Andrew's Stadium. On its surrounding streets in January 2024, football fan Chris Pugh parked his car before heading to the match. When he got back, it looked like this.
And turned the corner and noticed that my car had no front left on it.
When you say no front
left on it. What had happened?
They'd stripped the bonnet off and the front headlamps. And just left the rest of it there. It's not something that you expect to happen to your car, obviously, when you're just going to the football.
The car was on finance, which the insurance payout didn't fully cover. And that's been really costly for Chris.
The insurance company basically paid out what they deemed was the market value of the vehicle. However, that was around about 1,600 short of what I was actually left to pay on the finance.
And how did all that make you feel?
Yeah, obviously really frustrating.
West Midlands Police is tackling the issue. This raid was in connection with the activities of these two men, Muhammad Khan and Muhammad Haider. In April, they pleaded guilty to offences relating to a large-scale operation of car cannibalism across the region. Police even discovered the pair bragging about it on social media.
Oh, I rode to a million, you know.
Experts say supply issues led to a worldwide shortage of car parts, creating a ready-made market for stolen goods. Steve Launchbury is principal engineer at Thatcham Research, an organisation specialising in vehicle safety and security.
What would you say you're finding are the most common things at the moment to be taken from these vehicles?
You're looking at the front bumpers, the grills, potentially the safety systems and sensors, the radars that are attached to the front of the vehicle. They're often parts that are in high demand.
Car airbags are another targeted car part. Steve says a steering lock like this can help deter thieves from trying to steal yours. And he also highlights other measures we can take in order to try and protect our cars.
You could either purchase a dash cam, which is connected to your phone app, and then that can send live alerts to the owner to draw attention to the fact that somebody is in close proximity of the vehicle. You can also look at things like UV marking the parts up. So you're bespoking it to your vehicle registration, and it just makes it less desirable for a criminal to steal those parts because they can be easily identified.
And I guess people really should be sort of mindful with anything as to where you park your vehicle.
If possible, park it close up to a wall. If it's the front end that is being particularly targeted, so they cannot remove the part from the vehicle without any real difficulty.
With motor insurers paying out £593 million for theft last year, including for stolen parts, preventing and cracking down on this type of crime could benefit all our premiums.
Nobody deserves to return to their car to find it gutted, but it seems for a growing number of drivers, this has become the costly reality. But there are things that we can all do to help protect and secure our vehicles, and hopefully drive away those car cannibals.
Goodness, still getting over that part where you see that guy sort of walking down the street with a bumper of the car. It's so brazen, just walking off with part of the car.
But isn't that where cameras and things have changed?
Yeah.
People have always been doing that kind of behaviour. It's just now you can see it.
In fact, it's happening in the first place, though. It's shocking, isn't it?
Nick's in the driving seat now, though. He's been investigating your scam stories. And we've had a message from viewer Stephanie that's caught your attention.
Yeah, for sure. So Stephanie's cat, Buddy, went missing last September, sadly. And she did what a lot of people do in that situation, which is she did a load of posts on social media, printed a bunch of missing cat posters, stuck them up around the place. Didn't hear anything until May, when somebody got in touch saying that they had found Buddy. But here's the thing, right? They're a scammer, and what they sent her was an AI-generated image of her cat. The cat basically made her quite suspicious, the picture, because he was still wearing his quick-release collar from when he went missing in the first place. This is the AI-generated image that was sent. But on top of that, the reason Stephanie was suspicious was he looked bigger than when he'd gone missing. And you'd think if he'd been gone for 8 months, you know, maybe not having consistent access to food, quite surprising that he could have got larger in that time. So Stephanie exchanged some messages with the scammer, and the scammer asked her to send more photos so that they could confirm that it was genuinely her cat,
it's
right?
Just missing on the screen there, but that is a fake picture.
Completely fake picture, yeah. This is an AI-generated image of the cat. This is not genuinely
so
the cat.
The scammer asked the owner, Stephanie, for more images.
Yes, exactly. Now, why would they do that? Because, of course, if they can get more photos, they said they needed it to confirm that it was him, they can feed more photos to the AI they were using to generate these images and make more realistic photos of the cat to be able to send back to her. So what they were trying to do is just to exploit Stephanie's understandable desperation to be reunited with her, you know, beloved pet. The scammer then obviously brought up the prospect of a reward, because, of course, what's a scammer going to want? They're going to want to be paid money, ultimately. And they said that they'd be wanting a reward, in their words, for their kids, because they hadn't yet told the children, supposedly, that the cat was going to be going back to its owner. So that was the reason they gave for the for extracting some money from Stephanie. Understandably, again, Stephanie said, OK, provided it's really my cat, you know, I'm happy to give you a financial reward, but I want to know it's really my cat. And to be able to be sure, we need to scan his microchip. This is when the first really major red flag comes in. So the scammer said, I already did that, and that's how I got your phone number. Now, why is that a huge red flag? Because scanning a microchip doesn't provide any information apart from a 15-digit number that you then have to put into a database that I think basically only vets have access to be able to get contact details for the person who owns the animal. So the scammer kind of gave the game away when they said that. And kept demanding payment as well. So they kept coming back and saying, now, actually, I want payment in gift cards and I want it up front. They even invented a story about when they'd found a dog previously and some owner had come and taken it back by force. So they were trying all these different things to get Stephanie to agree.
Gift cards as well.
And to pay out, exactly. But then they started getting threatening when Stephanie refused. They even said that they would sell off the cat, Buddy, and ultimately, there's even more nasty things than that, saying that they'd kill him if she didn't actually comply and pay them money.
Give us the gift cards or we'll kill your cat.
Yeah. And obviously all of this is designed just to get Stephanie knocked off balance, get her acting outside her rational mind, doing something that she wouldn't normally do. Mm-hmm. But thankfully by this point, Stephanie had sussed that this was almost definitely a scam. And those threats sort of fell on deaf ears.
It's very manipulative, isn't it? To say, oh, my kids will be sad when I hand back this cat.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's the worst kind. So Buddy went missing in September. Mm. Any update on...
No news, I'm afraid. Yeah, Buddy remains missing now.
And Stephanie's still going through this with the scammers. Luckily, she figured out it was a scam. But as you say, that's what scammers are hoping for, is to play on that emotional side of things, to take advantage of people in this situation.
That is what makes this scam so powerful, right? You think about the incredibly strong connection that people have with their pets. If one goes missing, naturally, you're going to be desperate for positive news, right? And scammers have worked that out, and that is the sort of psychological bit of our human nature that they're trying to exploit here. So normally, I would say to be really cautious of completely unexpected messages. But of course, this situation also plays into scammers' hands because you're soliciting messages. You're posting on the internet saying, I've lost my pet, you know, please get in touch if you find them. So messages out of the blue in those circumstances, I can't say watch out for them because you're literally asking to receive them. But the things that you can spot in this scam, I would say it's a bit tricky with these AI-generated images, but we'll have a quick look at them. So,
We had a look before, didn't we? And we were like, we were really struggling.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard. And unfortunately, AI generation is getting really, really good now. So the first picture we're going to see, the bottom one there, is the real picture, right? So that's our Buddy there, and a genuine photo that I believe was taken by Stephanie. And you can see there's sort of real texture to his fur in that image. Also, the background isn't sort of too perfect. It's all just, it looks pretty natural. But in that top fake photo, which is another one the scammer generated after getting sent more pictures of Buddy, the patch is slightly darker, the fur is a bit more even in tone, but crucially, I'd say, that background, it's such soft focus, it's so perfect. Oh. It almost looks like it was shot in a studio or something like that. And you'll see an even better example of that with the next photo, right, which is the original one that we showed you.
I don't think you'd question that. You just go, oh, the cat's having a lovely time. It's on clean bedding.
You heard Nick's advice, though. That's the point, is looking out for the smaller details.
That's it. It's about looking at the whole picture and looking at them all as a collection rather than just one at a time.
You've got to put your cynical hat on.
Quite right. The next photo, which is the first one that they were sent of Buddy, is the fake one's at the top there and the real one at the bottom. So that real one, I can see that's a real photo because it's not completely in focus. It doesn't look like it's kind of been perfectly arranged. There's a bit of stuff going on in the background. When you now look at the fake photo of Buddy, it looks like he's having a headshot done or like something for, you know, a piece of artwork for an album cover or something like that. It's so perfect. The background's in lovely soft focus. You know, Buddy's looking magnificent there. Like, that to me is a typical sort of AI-generated photo, I'd say. It's almost uncanny because of how perfect
that is. That is interesting how it's changed, because going from I can't tell the difference to, oh, now you say that.
But that's it. But that's the thing, right? In this situation, you're desperate to believe it's true. You're desperate for good news. So you want to believe. It's kind of against your human nature to be sceptical about this, but unfortunately that is what you have to be. Look for those small details. And obviously, sharing contact details is basically necessary for being reunited with a pet, but just keep at the back of your mind when people are getting in touch with you, if they're sending you photos like this, these could be fake, they could be completely AI-generated.
But as you've also said, if you are in the unfortunate position of having lost your cats, and for a lot of people, pets are as a very important member of the family, you might take to social media, and lots of people do that successfully. So if you're going to do it, how can you stay clear of scams like this?
So there's a few things. The first one that I think is the absolute most important is just to be super wary about payment methods. So anybody who's messaging you over social media or otherwise saying they found your animal and asking for payment in gift cards, I'm immediately going to assume is a scam. If they're asking for things like friends and family payments via PayPal, I think, or other non-refundable methods like that, I always think that's probably worth questioning as well, because it's just not really a legitimate reason to demand payment in that way. You know, you can pay by bank transfer, or you could do it in cash if you want to give someone a reward. The other thing about this one I found very sus was this story about the dog that I mentioned earlier. So the scammer said that they previously found another lost pet, which was a dog, and you can see the message there, and that basically when they tried to do the exchange with someone in person, that person had then forcibly taken the dog back and refused to give them their reward. I mean, if I'm getting spun a yarn like that, I'd be thinking, hang on, how many lost animals have I found in my life? It's not very many, and this person's claiming they found two in a month. I mean, that's quite odd to me. It's all the more reason as well that having to meet someone in person is really important, and we'll come on to advice about that. But the payment up front, I think, is possibly the most key thing here. Please, please, please never pay up front for anything that you've not seen yourself over social media, regardless of whether it's a lost pet or something you're trying to buy or whatever it might be, because you just don't know that it's real until you've seen it in person. And if someone claims to have your lost pet or anything else like that, meet them first. See the evidence before you exchange any actual money. And when you do exchange money, do it in a safer way than offering to do gift cards or whatever it might be. And that last bit of advice, I think the most important, again, just in public. You know, take someone with you that you trust and do it in a public space, because then you can be sure that you're going to be safe when you are going to see whether it is genuinely your missing pet.
Thanks, Nick. That's
horrible if you lose a pet, though, isn't it?
Well done as well. After an hour's sleep, you did all of that. How many coffees are you on now? Do you want another one?
Four.
Yeah. Not bad.
Probably best not to have another.
Thank you, Nick. Tens of thousands of people have been left feeling ripped off, but this time not by scammers.
The UK's consumer watchdog has found some major retailers have been adding hidden fees to customers' bills at the checkout. This includes tickets like StubHub, which was fined almost £900,000.
Yeah, Dan Whitworth from BBC Radio 4's Moneybox, BBC News and Morning Live, of course, is here to tell us more. Hidden fees, what's this all about? What's going on?
Yeah, so this is something called the Competition and Markets Authority. So it's a watchdog, and it's been launching a crackdown on these hidden fees. And ticket seller StubHub, so obviously a huge big player in the ticket world, it's been feeling the effects, as you say, nearly £900,000. That's how much it's been fined for what's called drip pricing. And drip pricing is when you might get drawn in by an initial price and think, oh, OK, £50, yeah, that looks really good. By the time you're at the checkout, it's £67.80 or whatever. So all these added on, these hidden fees, these fees that are drip priced in. And basically, StubHub certainly obviously got the huge big fine, but says it's happy to work with the CMA. It says the hidden fees on its platform were an isolated platform error, and that it's not part of its business model. And as a result of that, because it's working with the CMA, it's had its fine reduced. Marks Electrical is another company that's been pulled up on this. It was fined £720,000. And this is something for pre-selecting and charging customers extra without their agreements. You know those little tick boxes sometimes you might get on the checker? If they're, you know, and obviously the idea is you tick them if you want them. If they're pre-selected for optional extras, well, that's not part of the rules. So that's what they got in trouble for. Now, Marks Electrical, it admitted the breach, that it settled the dispute very early, so it's, you know, held its hands up, and as a result, it's had its fine reduced as well. And all of this is part of a long-running investigation that was actually launched in April last year by the CMA, and it's looked at 400 businesses across 19 sectors, all about this drip pricing, these hidden fees, because it wants to assess compliance with, quote, price transparency rules. Now, Laura Promfrit, who is a finance expert, she actually did a report on this for Morning Live on the 29th of April, so that's still available on iPlayer. you want to go and look at it. And this investigation was launched certainly in part after the Department for Business and Trade started looking into this. It's obviously the government, right? So it checked out over 500 online businesses. Nearly half of them, 46%, were guilty of at least one example of this drip pricing, these hidden fees. And when it came to the entertainment industry, 93% were found to have done it. So it is hugely, hugely prevalent. And the CMA, that's again the Competition and Markets Authority, the watchdog, not only has it written advisory letters to more than 100 firms, it actually started cases and investigations against 8 companies. So they're taking action against something that's really prevalent.
I know we're coming at this from a consumer's point of view because it's frustrating. You go online, you think it costs this. By the time you get to the checkout, it's gone up. But it's worth the sellers thinking about the rules as well, isn't it? What exactly are the rules?
Because you might talk to your friends or, you know, you might think to yourself, oh, this is a bit of dodgy practice. No, it's illegal. It's breaching consumer law. And so the CMA, the Competition and Markets Authority, has released some advice to clear up what it describes, and it recognises a bit of a grey area. So any additional charge, and this is where the CMA is very clear, any additional charge must be displayed up front. So delivery fees, booking fees, VAT, anything that you have to pay to get the product must be displayed clearly. Now, the same goes for these pre-selected boxes, and we've mocked up a bit of an online checkout picture here. So these little pre-selected boxes, which you have to tick, well, they shouldn't. So if it's, for example, warranties, if it's insurance, if they're optional, if it's not necessary, they should not be pre-selected. As you can see there, it's a little thing, but the consumer should be in charge of whether or not they want to tick that. Something else that's now legally required, something that's different, is you have to have a running total. So again, you can see here, so you get a total in your online checkout basket of how much everything is costing so far. Also, something else that the CMA has cautioned against, these timers, these fake timers were saying, oh, if you don't, you've got 6 minutes or 12 minutes to buy this. It's heavily cautioned against those. Look, if it's a sale that ends at midnight, it genuinely ends at midnight, you can tell the consumers that that's useful. But, you know, if you go off the website and then you come back and the timer's all of a sudden reset, that's pressure tactics. That's something the CMA does not like.
They really work on me, those clocks. I'm not getting it.
Because exactly, and they're obviously always encouraging you to buy, and those sort of pressure.
Market put extremely on.
Sold!
Sold. And Holly Hamilton, who's a bit of a consumer expert, again, she did another report for Morning Live, and that's on the iPlayer. That's from the 16th of June, all about those pressure tactics.
It is something we talk about a lot on Morning Live. So if these companies are getting fined, does that mean that the consumers will be getting some kind of compensation?
Yes, and this is the really good news for consumers because the CMA, since April last year, so what's that, 15, 16 months or so, has secured £1.95 million in refunds for customers. Slight note of caution, that obviously sounds like a huge number.
Individually.
When you divide it by the number of people, it doesn't sound so great. Still decent money. I mean, so for example, Marks Electrical, they'll be refunding £15 each to the customers affected. StubHub, that's £10 per person. It's your money though, right? Mm. It's your money.
And it's the principle, isn't it?
Yep.
Exactly, exactly. And it's worth you having that money rather than them because it's rightfully your cash, right? Now, we've spoken to the CMA about this because obviously people, life's busy, right? People only have certain bandwidth to do stuff with. So luckily, in these instances, the CMA has actually said, right, the responsibility, the onus is on the companies involved to contact the people affected and refund them automatically. Now, ideally, they'll do that with the payment method you use to buy whatever you bought. So if it was a debit card, it will go back on your debit card. Credit cards, same thing. If that's not possible, they might issue checks. But again, that should happen automatically. So if you think this might be you, keep an eye on your emails. And also, we're going to put a link to the details of all these cases on the Morning Live website, and obviously these other cases as well. So if you think this might be you, do check it out.
So if your ears are pricking up and you're thinking, oh, maybe I bought those tickets or whatever, head over to the website, bbc.co.uk/Morning Live. Yeah. Dan, people aren't going to stop shopping online, though.
What? This is a loaded question, isn't it?
you,
Helen, possibly.
On behalf, yes.
Right, good.
Because we're busy and people do shop
online.
It's
really convenient. It's really good.
Good for the economy.
Thinking about other people, you see that
always.
Continue to do that safely.
I think a general rule of thumb that people should always bear in mind is go into these things with your eyes wide open. Don't look at the clock and be pressured into clicking and buying something. Just go in, take your time, and it's just all these improvements from the CMA, all these warnings to these companies, all these really crystallising the rules, they're all to protect consumers, and quite rightly, to protect our money, because it's exactly that. It's our money. So again, go into it with your eyes wide open. I think be steady, so don't be rushed into anything. Be smart, know what you're clicking. If you go into it with your eyes wide open, you'll do you and your money a lot of favours.
Don't look at the clock on the website.
Do not.
Don't say anything.
Ignore
Just look
it.
At the clock up there.
I can't promise, guys. 9.58. Can hardly see. 9.58. Still to come, more warm weather is on the way. So if you're planning a barbecue at 10:15, cook Bryony May Williams has a trio of tasty marinades to up your grilling game in minutes. Mm.
Delicious. At 10:20, wildlife presenter Kate Humble is looking back at 25 years presenting BBC's Animal Park with her co-host Ben Fogle, and shares the chaotic first meeting between the pair.
And whether you're heading on safari or a staycation, we are celebrating the summer holiday season in Strictly Fitness. Gladiator Montel Douglas is in charge. What's today? I'm going to call today a classic, Montel.
What? It is a classic. It is a classic because we're doing moves that you can bust out on your holidays from some of the most summery routines. And today, it's the lobster claws from Dan Walker and Nadia's Jive. Getting the claws out.
Do you know
the
what?
Metaphorical claws, though. Metaphorical claws.
We're doing this to get us in the mood for summer holidays. And I tell you what, I'm not going poolside in Alicante without this in my locker.
Fantastic.
That'll be on the gram, won't it? Can't wait. We're not letting Dr. Range put his feet up for the summer holidays just yet because our inbox is filled with health questions. And we're going to answer as many as